Father, in Jesus' name, we come boldly and with thanksgiving, Lord, praising and giving your Son all the glory. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And God, today, quicken us, Lord Jesus. God, wake us up. Lord, help us not to sit on an icy pew this morning, Lord. God, let us be warm for you, fervent, Lord God. Help us to wake up, Lord Jesus. God, help us not to be distracted with things, Lord Jesus, but quicken our minds this morning. And God, give us that passion in our hearts. As David said, Lord Jesus, I pant after you. What can I render unto the Lord? Well, God, help us today to sit down and drink. God, drink of that cup of salvation, Lord, that you have provided this morning, God. Thank you, Lord, how you've called us out. The privilege, Lord God, of the calling of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God, cause us to be the ones today that will come out from among them, coming unto you and being separate. God, thank you, Lord, that you've called us into that precious place. That, again, it's a wooing, Lord Jesus. And God, help us to want that, God. Help us to see it. Lord, enlighten the eyes of our understanding, God. Without a vision, the people perish. And Lord, let us want to see more of Jesus. God, to know the love of Christ, Lord God. To know the love wherewith we are loved. And to rejoice in it this morning. God, as we come in Jesus' name, we're thankful, Lord, that you are pleased. God, it's by faith, and it's without faith we can't please you. God, help us to grow in that wondrous grace this morning, receiving the knowledge of the love of Christ that will cause us to believe the word of God even more. Lord, help us to settle down. God, help us to tend upon you this morning. Oh, the beautiful Jesus. You're here, we're gathered in your name, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. If you'd open your Bibles with me today, we're going to Ephesians chapter 4. That's Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading from the 21st verse. This is Paul again speaking to the church at Ephesus. He says there in verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye have put off. And this is very important in your word. If you'll see that, it's not that ye put off, ye have put off. It's a done deal. That ye have put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye have put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now praise his name. And again, as with everything in the Word of God, this is incredible stuff. I just sit there and read and how magnificent he is and what he has provided for us and what he wants to work in us, brothers and sisters. But as my short time as a pastor has been a frequent occurrence, is that everybody so wants verses 25 through 32 to be manifest in their lives. Oh, if I could only be like that. And the thing is that most go after it, well, let's just call it what it is, in their own effort. They go after it with accountability partners. You'll hear ones, well, brother, you just got to walk the line. And there's something that's very consistent about all of those approaches. It never happens. It's a total failure. It will not work. And brothers and sisters, so simply, before verses 25 through 32 can ever be realized in our lives, it's got to be verse 21 first. So let's go back and read it. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, how simple could it be? Hearing and being taught the truth. It's a novel concept, isn't it, anymore in Christianity? There's got to be more than that. No, it's hearing and being taught the truth. And as always, brothers and sisters, the Bible does tell it like it is. And as always, by His Spirit, there is so much more than just on the surface. And I want you to really listen to this, because God is bringing some things to us this morning that we know, but by His grace, more light upon light. That word hearing in verse 21, or heard, I should say, it means endowed. Endowed. And that word taught, it means enjoined. So we have endowed and enjoined. Brothers and sisters, I have to encourage you in this and to hopefully awaken us all up to it. We have been endowed with an ear to hear Him. We have been enjoined in a oneness with this precious truth. That is exactly what it is. We have been made one. And you go further and you think about that word endowed. It means as a wife made joint owner with all the provisions of her husband. Endowed. And enjoined. Joint heirs together with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a oneness, brothers and sisters. It's something that God has so provided for us. And if we would only see with the eyes of His understanding to take this to our lives. But brothers and sisters, the thing that is on my heart today is to call out to say that when this becomes a reality of our life, and not just a reality of our life, but the reality of our life, oh my goodness, what lies within you? The full potential power of Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to tell you something, that there will be a magnificent change in your life. The life that will go from glory to glory, even into the image of Him, will come forth in your life. The man, as we have talked about many times before, that I hope to be, the man I hope to be, he begins to burst forth with all the power of grace upon grace into that pleasing vessel unto God. But brothers and sisters, we must get this simple truth that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. We have been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. That's Ephesians 1:3. And that the moment we are born of God, Galatians 4:1 tells us very, very clearly, distinctly, exactly, the moment that we are born of God, born again, we are born as Lord of all. I believe sometimes these are just words we read on a page. I believed often, brothers and sisters, this is something we see afar off. But I'm here to tell you that if you're a child of God here today, this is your reality. This is it. You can try to deny it. You can say, well, I've never heard that. You can say, I don't want that. If you are a child of God here today, that is your reality. But it will never become the knowledge of your reality, brothers and sisters, until we really lay hold of the life that lives in you. The simplicity of it. Christ liveth in me. He just lives there. This is his. I'm dead. Praise God. I'm crucified together with him, and he lives in me. And there is only one life that I live now, and that is the life of faith. Faith by and in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. I can try to live other ways, but see, that's the lie that it's talking about. In verse 25, wherefore putting away lying. See, brothers and sisters, I have put off the old man. The old man is dead. I have put on the new man. He that is born of God does not commit sin, neither can he sin. It is unbelievable. But by faith, I believe. Put away the lies. Put away the things that are untrue. Come on. Come on. This is our reality, brothers and sisters. The reality of the grace of God and what he has planned and what he has provided and the provision that he has given and what he has purposed and the power that he has given for Christ who lives in us to grow up into him in all things. But now we go back to verse 21 again. Unless you hear that, unless you be taught that, the other things will never take place. Even though a Lord of all, you'll have no more knowledge of that kingdom, no more enjoyment of your inheritance than the servant. What do you want? That's my dad. That's your father. That's your inheritance. I was born to Mr. and Mrs. John Odorcio, and I love my mom and dad. Wonderful parents. And there was things, matter of fact, all the things that pertained to them, they were mine. Was I just to say, well, you know, Dad, I don't want you to give me that car. And Dad, I appreciate you've bought food here today, but I don't want that. I'd be a nut. That'd be a nut. Think of these kids. You can't even get them out of your house anymore. But yet our eternal Father, we don't want to hang in the house. It's the truth. Come on. This is what it is. This is our reality. Hearing and teaching. Praise God. And see, this hearing and this teaching that was given to Paul, how amazing it is. The grace and glory doctrine. And see, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:7, Paul says this. Now listen to this. Consider what I say. Consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. He was given a message, a dispensation, a vision of the whole plan of God. That opens up everything in the Word of God. People say, oh, I'm going to start from the beginning, Genesis, and here we read through. Start in Romans, I really encourage you. Go to John a little bit, and then get right into Paul's gospel. Then go. And oh, how it'll open up. Talk about living color. It'd just be incredible how it comes. See, brothers and sisters, it says, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Yeah, we're talking about Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and 1 and 2 Timothy. And you're getting the pattern. It's Paul's gospel. It's Paul's gospel, brothers and sisters. The secrets of the hearts of men will be judged by Jesus Christ according to Paul's gospel. Yes. Yes. That's the word of the Lord. That should, wow, it says that. I've given that verse to people before. What Bible do you have? I think I have, yeah, King James. I think the NIV even says something somewhat close to it. Brothers and sisters, it's the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. See, it's just like that beautiful story of Rebekah and Esther. We need to really understand this. They knew they were endowed and enjoined. Genesis 24, and I do encourage you, brothers and sisters, if you did not get in that series that we had of a Bible study on Genesis 24, it's on the website. Go get it. It is all there. That Genesis 24 is Paul's gospel, all there. It's so amazing how that opens up. But you see, the servant of the master was sent to find the bride for Isaac. And when he met Rebekah at the well, he poured out to her the endowment. He did. He poured it out to her. He poured out to her all the hearing. And he endowed her with everything. In her hands, it says he put on the bracelets. It says that he put on the earrings. Because in the hands of the servant, it says, were all the things of the master. Everything. He came with everything. He came with all of it. Brothers and sisters, this is how God has planned this. This is how God has done this. This is why it starts with verse 21, which we must receive. We have been endowed and we have been enjoined. Believe it. Believe this life that lives in you. Praise be to God. Allow it to grow up into Him in all things. And oh my goodness, it's amazing, see, he enjoined her with those bracelets and with those earrings. And then she said, I will go. Isn't that amazing? See how man is so, it's just completely backwards how man wants to do this. We're going to get right with God and then we're going to come unto God. We're going to walk the walk somehow and then we're going to know something about God. Let me tell you something. You'll never walk unless you know something about God. You'll never take one step until you get into the gospel of Christ. And yet, I think of all of this confusion that's out there because of man. And it's because of the enemy. Because we get away from the word of God. They're going to put you on a mission trip right away. Don't you need a message first? Didn't you read about the messenger that was going to run? Oh, I can run real fast. I want to go out. And he ran. He just took off. And the guy tried to tell him, no, you don't have a message. He got there. He had nothing to say. Be still. Be still. Know that I am God. Listen to how incredible I am. Listen to how much I love you. Listen to how much I've endowed you with. Appreciated it this morning speaking with a sister, and she was just so encouraged again, thinking about Philippians, the horses, and how they run. And she was expressing about the thoroughbreds and how it's just been so encouraged in her heart to think about and to see how perfect and majestic those horses are. But the horses that are the best of the best, they have a heart to win. They have an insatiable appetite. There's nothing else for me but to win. Sometimes they even blow their bodies out, their legs out, and all those things because they're affixed to win. Now, as we were talking a little bit, I said, now, sister, you have to think of this. And this is exactly what this is saying. All of God's children, brothers and sisters, are born with full potential. We're all born thoroughbreds. We're all born with the full capacity to win it all. God would have been a respecter of person if he did not do that. And he did. Because he gave us all the same precious, incredible, complete life. The life of Jesus. But see, what will you do with it? Will it just remain the baby? The infant? As we rejoiced last week, grow up, be no more children, put away the childish things. Are we still just going to entertain ourselves with toys? It's time to be the men of God, isn't it? And you endure hardness as a good soldier. You're called lots of things. This isn't something we do in pride. That's a child. This isn't something we do in going to, well, I'm going to show off how great I am. That's a teenager. Be honest. No, in all humility and all thankfulness and all gratitude to God, I realize this great unspeakable gift. It's a privilege. That's a man. And the more you go on, the more lowly you get until finally you just disappear. And all they see is Jesus only. How wonderful. How wonderful. And you see, with little Esther, you know, she was just an ignorant little orphan girl. You read that story, she was absolutely ignorant to any of those things, an orphan. But see, God had a plan for her life. God had a purpose, just as He saw for us in Christ in ages past. Just the same, it's the parallel of parallels. I am faithful and true. And so He set this young girl on a course. And you know what He purposed in her life? That she would have no parents. He purposed for her that her parents would die. He purposed in her life that she would have to be taken in by her uncle. And you'd say, yes, on the surface, naturally speaking, what a tragedy, what a sadness. But you see, without that, brothers and sisters, she would have never had the appointment and the opportunity to be the king's wife. She would have never had that opportunity. It had to be that way. And all I can tell you again is how perfect and how divine God has brought you here this morning. He does it the same way. Isn't it wonderful? Absolutely. And you see, not only did He put her into that, in that perfect plan, all the providing was there. He put her right in with the keeper of women. Isn't that amazing how people kind of fall in sometime to Denver and they just fall in sometimes into this meeting? Around a Holy Ghost teaching. That same keeper of the women. That same one that plucked each and every one of us out. I think about how my mom, and it wasn't, again, about Brother Hill, but it was about that precious treasure in the earthen vessel. But there my mom was, and her dad left her, and she was just a little teeny baby. And there was Sister Hill, and that guy took pretty much everything they had but God. And God had her witness to this man that I'm sure never thought he'd have any desire in old Sister Hill but God. And that precious vessel and that tragic way was how the grace and glory doctrine was brought down to this life. You don't think that He just plucks you out? He got a circle around your life. You better wake up. You've been singing "Oh, Poor Me" too long. You got to see it from the other side. You got to see it from the "I'm seated in the heavens with Christ" side, or you're going to miss it all. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We are so blessed beyond. So blessed. But see, that keeper of the women, that Holy Ghost. See, you got Holy Ghost teaching. You got Holy Ghost teaching. Isn't that awesome? Anointing. Anointing. That's all Paul's gospel can be. It's anointed. It's the whole counsel of God. It's the one that said the Comforter is going to come and He's going to guide you into all truth. That's Paul's gospel. That's all truth time. So I know right there in that, by God's grace, it's anointed time. So here we have this precious anointing, just like this precious sister had when she went into the keeper of the women. She didn't know anything. She was ignorant, but she listened. She didn't fight it. She said, you know, God's purposed this in my life. I understand this. And she went that way, and she was instructed by that precious keeper of the women. Isn't that wonderful to be like Rebecca and sit at that well and not be distracted and looking at everything and, oh, wait a second, somebody's calling me, I gotta go. No, she just sat there and listened. Just like this sweet sister did. And of all the women that were there, because there were many daughters, there were many virgins. Yeah, there were beautiful women, incredible. But this sweet sister, she listened and took only what the keeper of the women said to take. She listened to no one else. She listened to no one else. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You're endowed with that ear. She was endowed with that. And all of those other ones were endowed with it as well. But she only took what was given to her of the keeper of the women. Nothing else was added. And oh my goodness, you know what happened there, don't you? She was the one, when she was presented to the king, that won his heart. She was the one that the king loved above all the other women. And she was the one, oh my goodness, even when it wasn't her time, everybody thought, for her to go out in front of him. She was the one that ravished his heart. And he said, oh honey, what's mine is yours. Come on, you see? It is. This is ours. It's so divine. You see, brothers and sisters, I love it. These two sisters, such wonderful types. Hold that fast which thou hast. You've got it. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Because you hear and you've been taught. You have it. Appreciate it. Enjoy it. Be thankful for it. But no, you got it. There's nothing wrong with that. It's all because of the grace of God. It's all because of His working. It's all because of His love and His desire. See, when I doubt that, I'm just insulting what He's done. I don't want to go in unbelief. I don't want that. I want to go in thanksgiving to God and say, Lord, it is mine. It is mine. I'm thankful to God it's mine. You've given this to me. I am endowed. I am enjoined. Hallelujah. I have put off the old man. Not because I did anything, but my goodness, Christ in me made me new. I am new. I am new. I'm new. I'm brand new. Hallelujah. The new man, he lives in me. And oh, hallelujah. I'm so thankful to God. I don't need to believe the lies of the enemy. I don't need to be caught in that untruth of the things that the enemy wants to attack me at. Oh, look what you did and look what you are. I know that that is not Christ that liveth in me. Now, it is not the fruit first, and then that's what makes us endowed and enjoined to Him. Quit. Maybe I'm just preaching to me, huh? I know this sinful flesh. I know the battle every day. Oh, Lord, I got to bring fruit somehow for me to be acceptable. It don't work that way. I'm a son. You're a son of God, and He loves you. That's fruit popping out all over the tree. Oh, and He loves to feast on that. Praise God. It's glory to Him. But see, brothers and sisters, we need to believe the great grace of God that we are endowed and we are enjoined, and then that's how the fruit comes forth. Where the grace of God has seated us, and all the power the grace of God has been endowed in us to be joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. Now that's fruit, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're talking about this early on. That's when, Lord, I want you to will and to do of your good pleasure in me. That's what turns it on. That's what, by God's grace, gets love to jump out of my heart. That's what, by God's grace, allows a love to come forth out of me that just loves everybody. A transformation. Those are the things, praise God, that come into my life, and I forget those past things. I forget those injuries from people. I forget those different conflicts that I used to have. It don't matter anymore. It's just the love of God. I see everything new. It really happens. It really does happen. Man will tell you you cannot forget. I'm telling you, Christ will allow you to forget. He will. And that's the forgiveness of God. But when are we going to believe it? Well, how about now? Huh? How about now? See, you don't need to delay this thing. He's a God of now. See, but it's only going to be the Word. You have to hear the Word. This isn't wishful thinking. This is hear the Word. God just said it, it's so. Because remember, that's your life. Let's go back again. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Faith is my life. The lie is thinking that faith isn't my life. Isn't that marvelous? I know your life. You know my life. It's the life of faith. That's all it is. Everything else is a lie. You caught up into something discouraging, and family, oh, golly, how could you do that? I know that's a lie. I know that's really not who you are in Christ. I do. I know that. It's not the excuse to go do it, but it's a reason to be thankful to the Lord and say, Lord, I know that that's not me. I know that that's not Christ in me, the hope of glory. It is. Isn't it fantastic? You think about it too much in here, it's going to hurt your head. You just got to take it, isn't it? It's just, you got to take it. You try to analyze that thing, it already passed you by. You try to figure that stuff out, and I'm going to tell you, it's over. Faith like a child. Lord, you mean you said that? That's mine? Okay, I got it. You want me to have that new bike? I want it. I've got it. I always remember, and I was so thankful, I was thinking about it, and I better watch, tell my kids this, but there I was, ready to go to college. And the Lord, he did. He gave me a sweet scholarship. And I knew my dad was so thankful. And he said, son, I want you to take a trip with me. We went all the way down to Texas. And there, we were looking at some properties. I was the baby, so I got to go and look at properties with dad. I just like being with dad. He's the best. Can't wait to see him. But we were done. And I thought we were going to go back to the airport. He says, I got to go one more place, son. So we went out to this ratty end of town in Dallas. I was thinking, what in the world are we going out here for? And there, in kind of a rundown place, a little strip center, out there was a brand new car. And I knew as we drove up to it, as I started to see, and I said, oh, that's the car I've always wanted. And I could see that smile coming on my daddy's face. And he said, oh, son, this is yours. Now, did I say, oh, I don't want that, you know, why this? I said, no, I think his hand was left just hanging there as I grabbed the keys. I said, that's mine. That's mine. What are you going to argue with? Why do you want to stand there and argue and try to debate? And then you have all the doubters, all the other children that'll be around you. Oh, well, that ain't yours. No, you got to do this to get that. That can't be true because, see, we were taught this for so many years in my organization or my religion. And let me tell you something, we got a lot of people in our religion. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Yeah, it's mine. He told me. And he's told you the same thing. So brothers and sisters, it is time to wake up. It is time to believe that before the foundation of the world, God chose us in Him. He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world, before He set a star in heaven. He chose you in Him to be to the praise of the glory of His grace. See, a lot of people say, oh, they understand, oh, I was chosen in Him. He saw me. No, but to be to the praise of the glory of His grace. To praise Him for that. Not to get out there and, okay, now you got to cut the right road. You got to go the narrow and dig and stress and all these things. No. To praise Him for the glory of His grace. And to be to the praise of the glory of His grace. To be that magnificent masterpiece that, Lord, it's all because of Your grace. I'm just telling you, people, it is all because of the grace of God. Hallelujah. I know there is nothing in me that would seek after God. I know there is nothing in me that would go after God. I know this is all because of the grace of God. Isn't that awesome? I am what I am by the grace of God. See, it's the message first, brothers and sisters. We'll wrap this up. But it's the message first. The word of His grace. That's what builds us up. It's not how many good deeds I can do that builds us up. It's not all of the stripes that this organization or that organization, well, I went on this many journeys. What are you talking about? It's the word of His grace. The ones that stay with the stuff, my goodness, they were even commended even more than the ones that were complaining. Well, they didn't go out with us. Knock it off. Amen. Sit at the feet of Jesus and enjoy it. That's the place that's going to be the one that's the ridiculed place. Everybody else that was working around, oh, they were probably rubbing elbows and saying, oh, that's great, high five, oh, you're great. Oh, look at her. Oh, come on, we're doing it all. We're putting this together. Oh, look at her. Finally, Jesus had enough. He said, you knock it off. She has chosen the better place. I'm just reading the Word of God. This irritates lots of folks. I don't really mean to, but if it does, praise be to God. You know it. Because, see, I'm not going to ride you with guilt. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to try to bewitch you with a conviction that ain't true. Because that's no conviction. That's a lie. If the love of God don't draw you, nothing's going to draw you. That's it. You can think you can draw yourself, but you're not going towards God. The proud He sees afar off. And that's all that is. That's dirty self-righteousness. Now, He has given us an ear to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. We started today. He has endowed you with an ear. But there's one thing He says about that ear. He says, let it hear. Let Him hear. See, there's a choice, isn't there? There's a choice to yielding. And see, that's why the Word of God tells us that they have itching ears for everything else but the Word of God. They become deafened. They don't want to hear it. They turn away from it. You need to pray, Lord, let me want to hear. And see, it's God's desire. So again, you can rely on Him completely that, Lord, this is Your desire that I hear this message. I might be sleepy today. I might not really feel like I'm even here today. But God, in Your great grace, there's a thing called osmosis, whatever it is today. But let this ear hear. Let it want to hear more. And pray for people that they want to hear the message. They want to hear this. And what the Spirit saith to the churches. And you think about the message of the Spirit. And in John 16:13, what is the message of the Spirit? All truth. He will lead you. He will guide you into all truth. And again, as we close, what is the gospel of all truth? Acts 20:20. Paul said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. I'll give it to you this way. I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. That's all truth. 2 Timothy 2:7, we read this one today. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. That's all truth. Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, that's all truth. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. Preach no other gospel. That is all truth. And we'll close with Acts 20:32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Praise be to God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I am jealous over you with the blood of jealousy.
Yes, you are. Thank you, God.
I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that ye be removed from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. While every head is bowed, Lord, we thank you. You are so magnificent. Thank you for your tender mercies to us. Thank you for your confirmation, because it's all in the word of the Lord. Lord, help us to be quick to hear that word of God. Oh, God, quick to repent and turn to the things of the word of God. Yes, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And by the grace of God, may we hear him. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God.